بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. تحذيره صلى الله عليه وسلم من ترك الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر. وأخرج البزار عن معاذ بن جبل رضي الله عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنكم على بينة من ربكم ما لم تظهر فيكم سكرتان، سكرة الجهل وسكرة حب العيش، وأنتم تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتجاهدون في سبيل الله. فإذا ظهر فيكم حب الدنيا فلا تأمرون بالمعروف ولا تنهون عن المنكر ولا تجاهدون في سبيل الله القائلون يومئذ بالكتاب والسنة كالسابقين من الأولين من المهاجرين والأنصار. وقال الهيثمي: وفيه الحسن بن بشر وثقه أبو حاتم وغيره، فيه ضعف. انتهى. منزلة من يأمر بالمعروف وينهى عن المنكر يوم القيامة. وأخرجه البيهقي والنقاش في معجمه وابن النجار عن واقد بن سلامة عن يزيد بن رقاشي عن أنس رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: ألا أخبركم بأقوام ليسوا بأنبياء ولا شهداء، يخبطهم يوم القيامة الأنبياء والشهداء بمنازلهم من الله على منابر من نور يعرفون. قالوا: من هم يا رسول الله؟ الذين يحببون عباد الله إلى الله ويحببون الله إلى عباده ويمشون على الأرض نصحا. فقلت: هذا يحبب الله إلى عباده، فكيف يحببون عباد الله إلى الله؟ قال: يأمرونهم بما يحب الله وينهونهم عما يكره الله، فإذا أطاعوا أحبهم الله عز وجل. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. This chapter in Hayat al-Sahaba regarding the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions, and regarding the qualities that they had, and regarding them doing amar bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar. This term amar bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it many times in Quran, where Allah describes this ummah and Allah says that this amar bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar is a duty and a responsibility of this ummah, and this is what caused this ummah, you and I, who Allah has given iman, to be amongst the best of people. Allah says, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. When Allah gives the description of this ummah in Quran, meaning the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah describes this ummah as the best of ummahs. The best of ummahs to be on the surface of this earth. And we are so fortunate to be of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah has given us this mubarak deen. Allah has given us the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the final prophet. Allah has given us the Kitabullah, which is the final book of Allah on the surface of this earth. We are so fortunate to be, you know, from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is because of this Allah gave us the title of khayr ummah. But then Allah describes, if you want to be khayr ummah, then you have a duty on the surface of this earth, meaning you have to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed you to do, and you have to do what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam done, and that is in calling people to good and stopping evil and prohibiting others from doing evil as well. So this chapter is teaching us that the warnings that sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, gave to the ummah who leaves out calling towards good and forbidding from evil, this already in itself teaches us. And from these verses of Quran, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the very same chapter, Allah says, وَلْتَكُمْ أُمَّةٌ مِّنْكُمْ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَعْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهُونَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. That Allah says there should be a group of you in the ummah who will be calling towards good and who will be forbidding from evil. So this is a duty of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Al-Bazzar from Mu'az ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, he mentions that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that verily you will be upon a clear proof from your Rabb as long as these two intoxicants do not become apparent in your life. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam begins to make mention of what are these two intoxicants. So the first one he mentions is the intoxicants of ignorance. That ignorance, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, is it possible for the one who has knowledge, the one who knows, and the one who does not know to be equal? It is impossible. Knowledge, when Allah grants knowledge, then Allah places some nur in the heart of a person. Allah places some nur and Allah guides a person through this knowledge. So the importance of learning knowledge is the first point that we learn about here, because the intoxication of ignorance, meaning being ignorant, is not what is required from a believer. Allah gives us these opportunities, Allah gives us these occasions that we sit in these majalis of ilm, we sit in these majalis, we sit in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have come to make i'tikaf as well. The realization of these things to enter into the heart, that while spending this time in i'tikaf, what does my Allah require from me in my life? Now when it comes to the aspect of knowledge, then ulama quote the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when it is mentioned that talabul ilm faridatun ala kulli muslim, that seeking knowledge is incumbent, it is a fard, it is a duty upon every believer. Why? Because if a person does not have knowledge, and like the Salaf used to say, that an action that is done with knowledge, and it be a small action, khayrum, it is better than an action that is done and a person does not have knowledge or is ignorant, and he does a lot, but he is ignorant. Rather do an action that is little, but a person does it with knowledge. That what does my Allah want from me? Or what does my Allah, you know, want from me when I am doing this action? I should have the knowledge behind that. So seeking of this knowledge and acquiring this knowledge is something that is fard, and it is incumbent upon every believer. So how much of knowledge? Sometimes a person is obviously busy in his life. It is not possible for every person to go and study, and every person, you know, to go in the field of becoming an alim, or a person studying the science of hadith or the tafsir of Quran. How much of knowledge do we require in our lives today? Because in every facet, in every part of our life, a person has to worship Allah. And how is a person going to worship Allah if a person does not have the sufficient knowledge? So ulama teach us, and they say through these ahadith, that the amount of knowledge that a person requires in his life is that he must know what is halal and what is haram. He must know what is permissible, what is impermissible. He must know what does Allah require from him in this situation, and what does Allah wants him to abstain from. For example, if a person is in his business and he is dealing and he is trading, then he should have that amount of knowledge. Then what does my Allah require from me in the time that I am spending in that business, in the time that I am trading? How many of us today that we are doing business, we are, you know, trading, we are doing things, you know, and we are not thinking about what we are doing, and yet it could bring the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are engaging in certain things and we do not know. Later on, sometimes in a life, a person then decides to ask, or he then decides to find out, and then he realizes for many a years he was doing it in the incorrect way. So the knowledge that a person requires in that field, be it even in the acts of worship. If a person is worshipping Allah and he decides today that I want to go and make 5 rakats of Zuhr Salah, and instead of 4 rakats to get more reward, then that is total and that is clear ignorance. And that is the words of the Salaf, that if a person is doing a lot of actions in ignorance, it's not good. It is better to do a little action, but he does it with knowledge and he does it with knowing what he is doing. So we are living our lives, we are spending our days, be it with our families, be it in our businesses, be it in our social life, be it in interaction on any level. What is the knowledge do I have regarding that aspect that I am doing? Even as a professional, even as a person who is working, he must know the rights, you know, he must know what he needs to do and everything. So this is the aspect of knowledge, because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when this becomes apparent amongst you, this, you know, then you will not be on that clear proof from Allah, and you will not, you know, be, or you will not know what is required from you. So learning this knowledge, seeking knowledge, going to the ulama, you know, learning what is right, what is wrong, and you know opening the kutub and reading. Today there's kitabs in every different language that a person can open, he can read, you know, the laws of salah. Now we have come into i'tikaf. So there are many things that a person needs to learn regarding ibadat as well. That sometimes you are making salah for so many years, but a person doesn't sometimes know the basics of the salah. He doesn't know that how should I perform my salah, what niyat I should make my salah, or you know what, you know that how do I correct that salah as well. So these occasions that you know a person sitting while in i'tikaf as well, maybe have some kutub or have some type of books, or you know sit and learn from those who have knowledge sitting around us and make these mudhakaras, because this is important, you know, that we acquire this knowledge. And again, even in the aspects of deen as well, doesn't mean a person has no, you know, person knows about deen that he has the sufficient knowledge how to practice upon deen. And this knowledge is so important that if we look in the lives of the Salaf, then it was not just that they took it serious to acquire knowledge, but they underwent difficulties in acquiring this knowledge as well. That if, you know, Ali radiallahu anhu used to say that knowledge is a light and ignorance is darkness. When a person has ignorance, it's complete darkness. If we look into the lives of Salaf, then we hear the stories which we can't even imagine. A person travels, you know, from Medina, you know, to Syria, to Sham, which in those days was such a journey that took days. Not like today, obviously, we have transport and we have all these mediums and ways and of traveling, and we reach there in within hours. It used to take them days. And when they got there, they used to say, I know this hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but came to that particular sahabi or came to that particular person and said that I know that, you know, you know about this hadith. I just want to inquire that the hadith that I have, is it correct or incorrect? And he traveled for days on end just to find out. So with this knowledge as well, one needs to make a certain amount of sacrifice in his life that in acquiring this knowledge. So that is the first thing Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, sakratul jahl. And the second thing he said was sakratu hubbul aish, and the intoxication of the love of this living, the love of this world. This is something that if it enters the heart of a person, then it obviously begins to corrupt the heart of a person. Allah has made it permissible for a person to earn. Allah has made it permissible for a person to, you know, earn his livelihood, to make money, and to whatever level and extent that a person, you know, pleases. But the aspect that Allah is speaking about in the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is speaking about is the aspect of becoming intoxicated with it, becoming taken aback with it, that it enters the heart in such a way that a person then begins to forget Allah. He begins to then break the commandments of Allah. He begins to do those things that take him further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then this is what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is speaking about. That when a person reaches this level of his life, remember, a person has to become intoxicated in this world. Obviously it is haram if a person has to drink some alcohol or drink that. This person, you know, would then become intoxicated, and if he leaves it, you know, after a few hours, this will, you know, the person will become in his right frame and mind again. But if a person has the intoxication of dunya, the love of dunya in his heart, which Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the love of dunya is what? The love of dunya is the head of all evil. It is the root of all evil when love of dunya enters into the heart. So this occasion of coming and spending time in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an opportunity here where you have left your dunya, and then you are seeing for yourself that you have that ability, and a person can every now and then, you know, detach himself away from dunya. So when you are sitting in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, try as best as possible not to engage in any worldly talks, or try and not to engage, you know, in business, or try and acquiring, you know, or making any money, because this is what you are sitting in the house of Allah to get that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this aspect of dunya and loving of dunya obviously is something that Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us on many places and occasions, that we have to try and protect ourselves from this and try and not allow the love of dunya to enter into our hearts. Because there are many traditions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam where he said, I fear most upon my ummah, and then he brought the love of dunya. He said, I fear the most thing I fear upon my ummah is when they have lengthy hopes.
I fear most upon my ummah is when they follow their desires. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's concern and worry was not that an ummati would one day die out of hunger, or he would one day die of not having dunya, or he would one day die of not having food. But his worry and concern was that what if a person has to leave this world and the love or the intoxication of dunya is in his heart. So that is something that is hatta al-maut. Once a person has this in his heart, this is hatta al-maut. So that is why Allah gives us this opportunity. That is why we have this month of Ramadan, so we can make an effort in this regard, effort in this line. How we come into these environments, we come into the house of Allah, we sit for i'tikaf, you know, we spend time in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cleanse this heart. Remember, everything begins from this heart. We mentioned yesterday that before the eyes of Sahaba used to tear, their hearts used to tear first. Why? The heart is the focal point. The heart is the place. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna fil jasadi la mudgha." There is a piece of flesh in the body. If that piece of flesh is correct, everything is correct. But if that piece of flesh is incorrect, then everything will be corrupted and everything will be wrong. Ala wa hiya al-qalb, ala wa hiya al-qalb, ala wa hiya al-qalb. It is the heart, it is the heart, it is the heart. Sitting in i'tikaf, one must make this niyah, one must sit, one must contemplate, one must make tadabbur, one must think about this and say, Ya Allah, free my heart from everything else. And allow your greatness, allow your kibriya, your qudrat, your power and your greatness to enter into my heart. So these are the two things that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam obviously warned the ummah about. And then he said, وَأَنْتُمْ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهُونَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. You have a duty, as a responsibility as an ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that you will encourage towards good. You will forbid evil. And you will strive in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is a responsibility of every person. On every different level and scale, be it in your family, you have a responsibility. Because Allah instructs us in Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O those who believe, save yourselves and your family from the punishment of the fire of Jahannam. So you have a responsibility towards that as well. And even in our communities as well, we have a responsibility to see that we are making amar bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar. In everywhere doing this. In our business places as well, to see that we uphold amar bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar. So on all levels and all scales. In fact, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went on to say that he said that man ra'a minkum munkaran fal yughayyirhu biyadi. فَإِلَّمْ يَسْتَتِعْ فَبِلِسَانِي فَإِلَّمْ يَسْتَتِعْ فَبِقَلْبِي وَذَلِكَ الْأَدْعُفُ الْإِمَانِ. To what levels does a person stop evil that is happening in his society? The first level, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, when a person sees evils happening in his society, the very first thing that he should do is stop it with his hands. And if he's not able to do this, then at least bilisani. At least the person must have the courage to speak about what wrong is happening around him. And if he cannot do this as well, then he said the third level, which is the lowest form of iman, that a person must at least have it in his heart that this is evil and I do not like this. So the aspect of amar bil ma'roof in, you know, the life of a believer is an important aspect, because this is a duty that Allah has given us and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has left us with. And then obviously striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, and going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And obviously, like on the level of Sahaba, giving their lives for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us the ability and the tawfiq to practice and follow their ways. And when these things become apparent, meaning when sakratul hubbul aish and sakratul jahl, and a person then does not do amr bil ma'roof, and he does not forbid from evil, and he does not, you know, go in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then obviously a person will be, you know, these things will enter the life of a person, and a person will be living in ignorance, and a person will be living, you know, in the incorrect and the incorrect way. And then obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who uphold, you know, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who uphold the sunnah, they will be just like as-sabiqoon al-awwaleen. Awwalun. Who was the sabiqun and awwalun? Min al muhajirin wal ansar. From the sahaba who were the muhajir and the ansar, the two groups of sahaba in the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So then the next narration mentions what would be the level or the rank of a person on the day of qiyamah.
who does this amr bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar. أخرجه البيقي والنقاش في معجمه وابن نجار عن واقد بن سلامة عن يزيد بن رقاش عن أنس that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, should I not inform you of a people who will come on the day of Qiyamah? They will not be Anbiya. They will not be of the Shuhada. Shuhada of the, are the martyrs. Right? But the Anbiya, the Shuhada, will envy them on the day of Qiyamah. Envy them meaning for the rank that Allah is going to grant them on the day of Qiyamah. Right? Were they ranked from the side of Allah? They will be upon pulpits from Noor. And they will be recognized. Then it was asked, Ya Rasulullah, who are these people? It is said, those who made the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come closer and love Allah. And those who love, you know, made Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beloved to his slaves. And they walk upon the earth and they are nusha. They are to people, they are, you know, they offer advice, they are honest on the earth. You know, they help people on the surface of the earth. فَقُلْتُ هَذَا يُحِبُّ اللَّهُ إِلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ So they said, this is how a person becomes beloved, makes Allah beloved to his servants. Then how does a person, you know, then how does a person become beloved, the servant of Allah to Allah? And the simple way of that, a person can become beloved to Allah by doing what Allah has commanded him, meaning يَأْمُرُهُمْ بِمَا يُحِبُّ اللَّهُ He commands them what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, and he stops evil himself, and he prohibits from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes. فَإِذَا عَطَاؤُهُمْ أَحَبَّهُمُ اللَّهُ And when he obeys them, or when he does this, and becomes obedient to this, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love them. So may Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. And again, all these realizations, this is the time to sit down and think about this. And a person, you know, engaged in his Quran or reading Quran finds at this point that his Quran is not, you know, recitation is not good. Now when a person leaves this i'tikaf, when a person goes back, he makes a concerted effort that he wants to now go and learn. It is never too late to learn. A person has to seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave. So it is important, you know, to learn the different masail when it comes to the aspects of deen. If a person, you know, again, like I say, doesn't know aspects in his business, to learn from the ulama and seek this knowledge that is required from a believer. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma, bismillahi rahmani rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, Allahumma laka alhamdu kullu, wa laka ash-shukru kullu, wa laka al-mulku kullu, wa ilayka yurja'u al-amru kullu. اللهم لا نحثي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معتي لما منعت ولا راد لما قضيت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد اللهم لك الحمد كما أنعمت علينا من نعمك الأديمة وعليك الجتيمة اللهم لك الحمد كما هديتنا للإسلام وعلمتنا الحكمة والقرآن ووفقتنا للصلاة والصيام والقيام اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين واجعلنا من المهتدين واجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين اللهم أكرمنا ولا تهنا اللهم أكرمنا ولا تهنا اللهم أعطنا ولا تحرمنا اللهم أعطنا ولا تحرمنا اللهم أعطنا ولا تحرمنا اللهم آتنا نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها يا أرحم الراحمين يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين ويا ذا القوة المتين ويا راحم المساكين ويا أرحم الراحمين اللهم ارحمنا فإنك بنا راحم ولا تعذبنا فأنت علينا قادر اللهم تقبل منا صلاتنا وصيامنا وقيامنا وركوعنا واعتكافنا وكل أعمالنا يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم ربنا تقبل منا, اللهم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم, وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك وغضبك والنار. اللهم أجرنا من النار, اللهم أجرنا من النار, اللهم أجرنا من النار. اللهم ثبتنا بالقول الثابت في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك, يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وعملا متقبلا وشفاء من كل داء وتوبة قبل الموت وراحة عند الموت ومغفرة بعد الموت. لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم, سبحان رب العرش العظيم, والحمد لله رب العالمين. نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعذائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم. لا تدع لنا ذنبا يا الله إلا غفرته, ولا دينا يا الله إلا قضيته, ولا مريضا يا الله إلا شفيته, ولا موتا يا الله إلا رحمته, ولا حاجة هي لك رضا إلا قضيتها. يا أرحم الراحمين, يا حنان يا منان, يا بديء السماوات والأرض, يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا الله. اللهم ارحمنا فإنك بنا راحم, ولا تعذبنا فأنت علينا قادر. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإخواننا في أمرنا, وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين, وأذل الشرك والمشركين, ودمر أعداءك أعداء الدين, وانصر عبادك الموحدين. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين في كل مكان, اللهم انصر المجاهدين في كل مكان. اللهم اغفر لحينا وميتنا وشاهدنا وغائبنا وصغيرنا وكبيرنا وذكرنا وأنثانا. اللهم من أحييته منا فأحيي على الإسلام, ومن توفيته منا فتوفه على الإيمان. اللهم اغفر لجميع موتى المسلمين الذين شهدونك بالوحدانية ولنبيك بالرسالة وماتوا على ذلك. اللهم ارحمهم وعف عنهم وأكرم نزلهم ووسع مدخلهم ونقهم خطايا كما ينقى الثوب الأبيض من الدنس, واغسلهم بالماء والثلج والبرد, واغسلهم بالماء والثلج والبرد, واغسلهم بالماء والثلج والبرد. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاد منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ, ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون, وسلام على المرسلين, والحمد لله رب العالمين.